So he's gonna follow up with you with a recommendation, a final number that we can review before we decide to tell him to disperse that to us.
So that there is a calculation in the code that allows for what is basically a three-year average to be used to a three-year average of revenues, interest earnings on the pool fund to be able to be used as an annual contribution out of that fund into operations, and that's what that amount would be. So that'll be included in next year's budget. Confirm yes or no the hourly response rate agreement in place with the PD for the airport. So the answer to that is none. As I mentioned at the last meeting, if there's an emergency at the airport, they respond if someone calls 911, the same way we do to any other facility in town now. They don't have anything special in place. Can we charge a local head tax at the airport? I'm still researching this. My guess is no. And I think this is a restricted issue, but the second thing here is we don't own the airport land nor the airport building, which would justify our ability to be able to set, let's say in, as much as I hate to use Valdez as an example, in Valdez, they own the airport building and it's part of their port. And so they are allowed to set tariffs for their port. So they can charge tariffs at the airport if they want to. But in this case, we don't own the building here nor the land. So charging a separate local head tax could be problematic. Add the marijuana tax revenue. Lee did that, the whopping $1,000. The thing I want to remind you is that the marijuana tax is an excise tax only on marijuana that is sold, like raw marijuana from the plant that is sold out. Is it outside of this, being sent outside of this community, or can it be?
No, it's on marijuana that's cultivated.
Oh, cultivated. Thank you.
To the shelf.
Right.
So if it's procured from outside the community, that would not generate an excise tax.
Huh. And the any tax on the finished product is just our standard sales tax. So we could see a slight uptick there.
So the Happy Cannabis is not growing cannabis, they're only importing cannabis?
They're growing it, but my understanding is their stock is not ready yet. So they have not sold anything to be transferred to a shelf.
Okay.
So the request was for I encourage everybody to get out there and increase our marijuana tax. I'm just kidding.
I wasn't going to say it. Wasn't that thinking.
I don't want to get too far down this trail, but I was sitting on planning and zoning. I thought that was for cultivation and sales, not import and sales. I could be wrong.
You're correct. Cultivation and sales.
Oh, so is he bringing it in and selling it?
So he would have to be at this point because his product that he's growing here is not ready yet.
That's my point.
So if something is brought in from another community, if they charge an excise tax on it, the jurisdiction from where it is coming, we get that tax revenue. So the finished product that goes on the shelf here that would be sold in the retail store would have our sales tax charged on it.
Okay.
And this revenue will have a line item in our budget, correct? Or would it be incorporated? I would prefer that it have its own line item.
It should. If it isn't in the draft version 2, then it maybe just didn't make it in time. But I believe that we have added it in the general fund revenue.
He has added a line for that.
Okay. I didn't see it.
It may not be in... As I said at our meetings on Tuesday, this volume of stuff, there was no way we were going to be able to get answers and all of this stuff done before the version went out for the public to in the packet.
It's not in version 2, but it has been added to the worksheet since, so it'll appear in the final.
Okay, great.
There was a request to add $5,000 to the finance department budget for a sales tax audit, and so that has been done as well. The request was to look at a building envelope study for the pool. The cost of this is estimated to be between $17,000 and $20,000. That's roughly the cost of the building envelope study that was done on the public safety building. That's the number that was used. So the question is, would you like that to be added to the CIP or major maintenance budget at this time?
I would prefer to see that added next year, given the level of spending that we have to do on capital and other stuff, I think we can hold off another year. That would be my...
I agree with that.
Okay.
Me too.
We also need to look... the question was to look for the energy audit on the pool. I have not had time to look at that. I know it's there, and I'll take a look at that information. As we were talking about pool stuff, it was requested that the focus of the CIP and major maintenance work at the pool should be to reduce energy costs, and that is definitely the focus of the money that is planned for expenditure this year. As I already mentioned, some of these are a little bit of repeats. One is to reduce the cost of the public safety building boiler install to between $5,000 and $10,000. We reduced it from $30K to $10K. So that I just wanted to confirm with you. Mm-hmm. Also, public safety building carpet 12.5, as I talked about earlier. Library carpet replacement $42,000. What wasn't addressed up above was postpone the Nolan Center fire alarm upgrade, which is $35,000. And postpone the Nolan Center light replacement, which was between $5,000 and $7,000. Although what I did add was $5,000 for Nolan Center exterior painting, because there are some definite issues there, and the last thing we want to do is have any weather infiltration. So if we can get some painting done, that would be helpful. One of the things that was requested is for us to look at diesel heat versus electric, the status of that at all facilities. We'll get that done, but that's going to have to be something that we bring to you in the near future. The request was made that as part of the FLAP grant that we looks like we're going to be getting this year for the Mount Dewey Trail extension, that we look at the parking on 3rd Street associated with that. So we're going to do that. I'll be talking to the Parks and Rec director about the locker bottoms issue. And hopefully that's something that our invigorated maintenance staff under capital facilities can do if that budget is approved. We talked about us doing it ourselves with regard to crosswalk painting, and the public works director believes she can acquire the equipment to do this out of the materials and supplies budget. But one of the things she wants to reserve is the potential for contracting some of that, because unless we schedule it well in advance and we pay significant overtime to have it done on the weekends with our staff, it has to be done during regular work hours, and that can be very disruptive to daytime traffic and visitors and other things. And so the nice thing about contracting it out is the contractor can do that work on the weekends when there's far, like on a Sunday, when there's far less traffic around and it's far less disruptive. So that's something to think about.
Is that crosswalks and the parking, the no parking spaces, or is that just crosswalks?
It would be all the
striking
for downtown.
Oh, okay.
I'll make sure that I... Parking spots, too. I'll write that down. Lee, did you have something you wanted to add? Or are you just at the ready?
No, I was shouting out a lot, so I figured I would just set up shop at the podium in just in case.
Okay.
I do have actually a couple things to add, though, since you asked. Regarding... personnel-related cost questions. There are two pages that were added to the final two pages of the version 2 that you were recently given have a pretty exhaustive breakdown of each permanent position and the total cost in terms of wages, overtime, benefits, and total cost of compensation. It's like page 94, 95. The last two pages of that will give you the numbers on each position. And the $5,000 for sales tax audit is usually budgeted out of the sales tax fund, as opposed to the finance department budget. The sales tax fund usually pays for sales tax audits.
Oh, okay, my bad.
That's fine. That was all.
There was a request for us to look at crushing our own rock, and would there be a savings there? And I am sad to report that the crusher is dead. And so doing that would require us to get a new model, another crusher, new to us, not necessarily brand new, but new to us. And so I don't know that the savings would be there, but we can calc that out.
Or lease. Can we look at leasing for a month period? Or
that's what I was...
Crush enough rock?
That's what I was getting at when I mentioned that, to
to look at leasing equipment to do that stuff.
We're renting.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
Another option is also contracted with someone to set up our lot and then have the session in town locally.
If I may, you know, I've not been involved with our crews crushing rock. I know we've done it in the past, but I have some concerns with us starting to crush rock. Number one, we wouldn't be able to drill and shoot our own. Like, we're not qualified for that. And really, you know, crushing, yeah, we could probably do that. But I think, like Lisa said, we need to pencil out the number and see, is it worth us actually owning and operating a crusher? Or do we look at taking advantage of the two? We now have two crushers in town, as far as I know. You know, taking advantage of when other projects are going on. We've had in the past contractors who come in and do city projects. They'll bring their equipment to the rock pit, and we actually require them to produce a royalty. That's their royalty, is to produce some rock for us. So there are opportunities for that in the future if we plan for it. So I would like to put a little bit more thought into this idea before we just say, let's move forward and buy a new crusher. There's lots of things to consider. So.
Yeah.
Is there any other municipalities that have their own rock crushers and stuff like that?
I'm not sure, but I could ask.
I just wonder.
Yeah.
I was just thinking the cost of a yard of rock compared to maintaining the crusher and paying what we pay for labor is probably going to be.
My understanding was when we did use this old hunk of junk that we have out here,
I've seen it.
that it took almost all of our public work staff to run that thing. And with some pretty significant risks, safety risks involved too. So I would like to scrap that, and we'll probably be coming to you in the future to ask for the disposal of that unit.
Surplus.
Yes, exactly.
I'd just like to say that rock crusher, when I was, as a teenager, I was working on that very same crusher.
Really?
For the city.
Wow.
So that, just look, if anybody knows how old I am, you know how decrepit that rock crusher is.
It's the same donkey still alive?
The squirrel.
Thank you for letting me add.
I'm sure we could just do some baling wire and some duct tape on it, and it'd be fine.
Would you like to go run the rock crusher?
For a whole lot of dynamite.
It was actually 17.
One of the other, the next item is a code policy change to mandate water meters on all new construction for residential and commercial. And that'll be a policy change that we need to come to you in the form of a code change. The other thing that we need to make sure that we have when we do that is meters. When the code was changed the last time to get rid of the vacation rate for water, the code was written that it eliminated the vacation rate, and it said you would have to pay whatever the minimum water monthly water rate is, or you could go to a meter. And some people said, okay, we'll go to a meter. And we went, what? We don't have any meters. So those people are still on vacation rate. Because when someone said we want a meter, we said, well, we don't have any. So we need to make sure that we have everything is ready to go when we roll out a new policy. So that's what we want to make sure of. So in addition to the meters that Amber is ordering for our test stuff, we need to make sure that there are meters available for people to say, okay, I'm building a new X, I want to install a meter, and we say, okay, here it is, and here's the cost. So, where are we here? The question was asked, are the fire extinguishers that are being replaced in the harbor budget a replacement for the dry chem that was stolen? And the answer is no. Those are just.
Did we replace the air foam?
I don't think so.
I don't see anything. Looks to be. Oh, sorry.
No. Okay. I'll ask. I'm sorry, but that wasn't the follow-on question that was asked. public safety building project alternatives. You have that information in front of you, and I would like to invite Amber back to the at-the-ready spot. I have that information right here.
Okay.
You could pass that to her.
See, so you want me to talk about it? Mm-hmm. So, what we discussed at our last meeting about public safety building is, as opposed to what we presented to you earlier on, was which was to replace the entire siding system for the entire building. Go back and look at the most critical pieces that would also include replacement of that flat roof that is associated with those critical pieces. And so what this outlines for you is what that would look like. It would be primarily the center section of the building, both the front and back, and I have actually included, there are the rake walls that are associated with the sloped roofs, the metal sloped roofs. Those, a portion of those are integral to the flat roof as well. So I decided to just include that full wall. And you'll see those, there's some funky side views that show the extent of that siding. It should be in your fourth page. This one here. So this is the front of the building, this is the back of the building. So this gives you a view of those side walls that would be associated as well. And while not all of them are adjacent to the roofs, there is a good portion of it that, you know, it's kind of like pick a spot to start and end. You either continue all the way across to the face of the building.
Can't do, but I'm going to wait.
Okay. So, so what's included again? I got pictures here, and I identified in color all of the areas where you can try to make it as clear as possible. That's a pretty complex building as far as the way it's been constructed, so it might take a little bit to kind of wrap your head around what's going on there. But I tried to make it as easy to read as possible. So it would be the siding, front, back, the sides, the roof. All three, there are three sections of flat roof. There are two lower ones and one upper one. It would be reconstructing this north end concealed gutter and the eyebrow that hangs over. That's been identified as a structural issue. What we did 10 years ago on the south end was we replaced that siding and got rid of that internal gutter and put fascia hung gutters on that. On that side of the building. We would do the same thing here. So that would include abandoning the internal gutter, putting new metal over that, and then hanging new metal, installing new metal gutters on the exterior.
With an addition of maybe a bit of a eave on it, or just strictly straight to a gutter?
It would just be straight to a gutter. Hmm. There would be some flashing changes.
Okay.
If you look on the south end right now, you'll see how that's been done. There was a problem with the way the south end was constructed, and there's some concerns there, so but this includes making sure. Yes.
You may be getting to this, but does this address the courthouse walls
yes,
as well?
These okay. are, yes, so these Great. Are primarily, so the court, court's lease space is mostly contained within that section of the building. Actually, I think it's all within that section of the building. So all of the exterior walls that are associated with the lease space will be taken care of, as well as the roof above that.
So, Amber, it is your recommendation that we go, if you were queen for a day, what is the alternative you would, what is your recommended budget for this?
My recommendation is to pursue this option, actually. This is what we discussed earlier. We kicked around a couple of different ideas, and the reason we decided in the end collectively not to move forward with this is because through the condition assessment that was performed at Jim's Normalot, they did not determine that there was a roof problem.
So it's like, well, there's not a root problem. Can we move forward and take that amount of money and replace all the siding, which we know there's a problem with the majority of the siding. Tackle that first and construct it in such a way that we could minimize the risk to a roof replacement project in the future, or, you know, make it so that it's, you know, fairly seamless. There's still being
But that's not what we're recommending.
That was the idea, that's why we moved forward with that recommendation first. But this would be what I would recommend. My figures, I have calculated both for the siding. So just your one, I gave us a price to reconstruct the entire building. It was a square foot price for all the different tasks. So I went through and we calculated the square foot area for what we see here and applied those costs. So I developed that. I kind of did this something similar with the roof because when we went out to bid for the roofs last year, we didn't ask for a price to do all the roofs. We had a base bid that was roof number one and then an additive alternate for roof number two. Along with that, we included a portion of the school roof as one project, two buildings, one project. So trying to decipher how the contractors, the three different contractors, developed their bids was a little tricky for me, but I feel pretty confident just based on, you know, what I was able to work through that these would be some pretty good numbers for us to follow through. And I gave you an option for the pool roof if you wanted to consider that as well, but as I just heard you want to do a building condition assessment, I'd probably recommend waiting now until that's done to move forward with the roof.
When you were doing your assessment, did you note the swale going down? So you're on basically over top of the bays, halfway where the wall attaches.
Yes.
When I was up there, I noted a fairly significant swale in that roof. If you look down the roof line.
Yeah, we talked about this the other night, and I've seen that. Yeah.
Any thoughts or worries about that?
I have some thoughts that we should investigate that more thoroughly.
Okay, so for me, my only concern on that swale is given that it's an unsupported, I don't know how that's designed. Like I'm trying to think in the hall, we don't really have any.
If there's a wall there or?
Yeah, so basically the training room of the hall is like, it's hung off the roof, basically. And what I'm seeing, like there's no posts that come down there. It's unsupported. It's all open.
Down in the garage area.
Down in the garage area, it's open. So that entire structure is hanging off that roof. And when I look at the roof at the top, it's swaling in, and I'm thinking to myself, are we pulling down on that roof to the point that we're starting to, the integrity of the roof? I've never seen a significant leak out of that,
mm-hmm.
like in the upper training area or in the base, but it is doing this, and it's right where that wall
has no support. Is what you're saying.
There is no support coming down into the bay.
That would be aligned with that as you're going under the basement to the left side, and the fire department's got their enclosed space beyond that.
No, it's
where the ambulances are.
So, or Lisa, sorry, Amber. So basically, this is the training hall here. This comes down. So the two ambulance bays are low. This is open all the way to the ceiling for the engine bays, right? This wall that hangs down here, there is no post going from the concrete up. My guess is they. Yeah, absolutely. My guess is they put.
Really dumb question, but have we talk to any engineers about getting rid of the flat roof section and adding trusses across and creating a pitch in the middle. Would we, in the long run, be money ahead to check into what the expense of doing that would be over simply repairing the roof again and then another 15 years down the road repairing it again and again? Am I pursuing the wrong form here?
My guess would be, given, if I'm thinking of things correctly, if you did a raised roof in the middle, what you would end up doing is having snow that would shed onto the then lower pitched roofs below that. So not only would you be putting a roof up above the middle section, my guess is you would have to beef up the structure of the existing pitched roofs on the other side.
Oh, because you'd be taking the load.
Because it'd be taking load from one down to the next.
You'd have those two valleys,
right,
wouldn't you?
Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
So you're saying taking the surface area of the additional pitch in the middle and shedding it down onto the larger roofs.
An elevated roof
that
overhangs the lower
slopes. And it taking that shed snow, I would imagine an engineer would tell us we would have to beef up the capacity of the lower roofs as well.
Well, you may have to just to support the
the upper roof, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we would create pitches over the overhang areas that are flat roof off to the front. So, I mean, and that might be something we can do even without doing the huge roof, you know what I'm saying, on the front where the lobby is and over the back where the courtroom is. We can come off the parapet walls out with a pitched roof off the back at least, so we are eliminating a flat roof on the back and a flat roof on the front, and then we're reducing our risk. I don't know.
The front would be, I mean...
It's an odd shape on the front, but you could still come off of the short wall coming up to the middle flat roof with a slope in the front, create a sloped roof, and it would all it would be is adding the trusses and everything, creating a metal roof out the front and a metal roof off the back where the offices are, and we'd at least reduce our flat roof area substantially, and then we wouldn't be doing EPDM, we wouldn't be doing any of that stuff, and we would add eaves and, you know, I can't imagine that would be much more than the repair of the flat roof.
I think some of that is feasible, probably, but we'd be changing direction.
I realize, but, you know.
You'd have to have a lot of snow stops because public entrance, you
right.
don't want snow
you,
load.
You don't want
dumping.
Snow shedding forward onto the off the entrance.
Yeah.
Of the
roof. I mean, it's a thought, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it would be a lot more
I'm trying
than
to reduce,
you know,
we're looking at all of the CIP budget and the CID, you know, CIP department and all this stuff. You know, every place where we can start to preserve our facilities and not have to repair them, I have a game for it, you know.
So we have the opportunity alternative still, but we need to decide on a budget number for this project at this point. So I guess my question is... can we get consensus to move forward with a total public safety building budget at this point of $490,000 as recommended, and whatever the reduction, we don't have the calculation of what the reduction is, but that'll be taken into consideration. So probably looking at 100 and some other reduction.
I think it would be about $75,000 total when you include the added pool building work that was not originally contemplated.
Are we adding the pool building?
Well, the money that was scheduled.
Oh.
The $170,000, I think that was?
Well, that was this current one. We wouldn't move forward with that.
Okay, well, the $75,000 savings that I mentioned assumes that we would and that we would add it. So the figure is going to be, approximately $245,000, less than what we originally planned.
So we say $245,000, you think?
Our work is done here.
You save it in the sense that you're deferring that work.
I know. Amber gets the Saver of the Day award for that one.
Get her a chair next time.
That's a
can't afford it.
Okay.
Thank
All
you.
Right. This is good. Thank you.
So the next item is removing the Nolan Center custodian position. It's done. Is IT listed as a full time? The question is, where are we as listing IT as a full-time borough position or as a contractor? And the information that I sent out to you from Lee yesterday, we're really recommending that we go with the contract, because hiring an IT person at the fully potentially loaded rate is still going to require that person to reach out and get additional help, expenses, et cetera, where we're sort of getting an all-in-one package with Devron across the pond.
I agree with that, and I think that the write-up was great, explained it very well. I would eventually like to see us move towards an in-house IT person, if at all possible. And I think that if we go in moving forward with the next year with the contractor, with that in mind, that we're working towards our own in-house and looking for support and ancillary services that would go with that, but also creating structures and utilizing technology that would allow us to do away with some of the other things that we are going to be contracting for. And I know that's out there, that is those sort of things, those fixes are there. So hopefully, I guess what I'm saying is I'm hoping this gentleman works his way out of a job and we can have a full-time person here on site.
Okay.
And we're sticking with 30 to 40,000?
No, it was
60.
Oh, so I thought we were
It was between 60 and 70,000.
Oh, I thought we were going to try to reduce it. Maybe I read that wrong.
No, the position was over 70 to 100.
The cost of the proposal provided by Mr. Bennett in Petersburg was $60,000 a year. However, that assumes full onboarding of all of the borough departments and all of the workstations immediately. That's not really a realistic onboarding plan. It probably would not result in a full $60,000 a year. If you wanted to put that in there, it would be more than enough to do the amount of work that's realistically going to be achieved next year. So I think that starting with, for example, $40,000 instead of 60 would probably be adequate to start addressing the most critical needs, which would be City Hall first, and then maybe one to two other locations, maybe.
So 40K.
So 40.
I think that's probably
okay.
Appropriate.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Can I ask a question of Lee? Do you see whether we went with a contractor or an IT staff person? Would it be something that we sort of charge to other departments like we do with some of our other services that are sort of internal within the city?
Yes, I think that makes sense. I think it makes especially good sense to the extent that these services are benefiting the enterprise funds. I just think it's especially more important that the enterprise funds share in the cost of what it realistically requires to run as business-like entities. We could also share it among the actual general fund departments and the special revenue funds, too, if we so chose or were given the direction. But the bottom line to the general fund isn't that different, so it's just more a matter of where you want to see that cost spread out and how fully do you want to see it spread out.
So, and let me, can I follow up with that? So it was part of the reason why I pushed to get what 2% increase would be, not to just the general fund services, but also the enterprise fund services. This particular this point, and a couple of other things, but if we were to spread out, you know, the cost of IT services to enterprise funds, and if we were to increase enterprise funds slightly, you know, that would help offset that. So in my mind, you know, I think it's still a legitimate conversation to have whether we need the full IT full-time person or not. That is beneficial in getting us increased efficiencies, and it's definitely necessary. I mean, by the end of our last work session, we were all like fully convinced that a full-time person, there'd be more than enough work for that person. So the school is hiring a second person, and they've got much less systems than the entire city of Wrangell, city and borough. So anyway, can we have that conversation in light of the potential to offset costs to the other departments?
Yeah, if I could add, I think, you know, it would increasing the rates in the enterprise funds would basically help offset all of the costs in the enterprise funds, and to the extent that we spread out the cost of IT to them, I think that would certainly help. However, realistically, I don't think that an IT person that we brought in, whether it was internal or a contractor, would spend almost any time at water, sewer, or sanitation for their IT needs. They do have obviously some specialized equipment and computerized programs there, but it's not the kind of thing that a general IT person would do out there. So to spread the cost out to those funds for IT services wouldn't make that much sense if the IT person wasn't actually spending any time out there, which is probably what would happen. So if that makes sense. I just don't think the enterprise funds rates would need to be increased to pay for IT if the IT person wasn't really doing anything for them. Yes.
Okay, and if the IT person increases the efficiency of the finance department, then the enterprise funds receive the benefit of that. Is that correct?
I guess you could say that.
Okay.
If I might... I guess if I could add one more thing about the IT services, kind of as indicated in the answer to the original question from the last meeting, a significant amount of the cost of the proposal from Petersburg involves programs and software that he basically pays for all of his clients, and then we get to, you know, benefit from those programs. To bring in an IT specialist or an IT director or basically any position that does IT internally, those same expenses would be incurred to be able to benefit from those programs and to pay for those memberships and the annual fees associated with it. If we were to get onto these managed services and really make some of these IT improvements, I think it isn't unreasonable to consider what additional benefit we could get from having someone internal, because as discussed previously, you would have access to that person's schedule and be able to direct them as to where to go and make some of those improvements. Whereas you're not going to get the same level of access with an IT company that has many, many clients. So it's just going to be a function of the added cost of all of the payroll on top of those annual or monthly fees that you pay for the benefit of those programs, the antivirus, the malware programs, and on and on.
I believe we've already decided to go with the contract.